For some of us, God deals with us in certain areas, and God will drop songs in our heart and melodies in our heart. And God just dropped a little melody in my heart. It just says, God is faithful. God is faithful, and he won't fail. God is faithful. God is faithful, and he won't fail. What he has promised, he will perform it. What he has spoken, it will come to pass. God is faithful. God is faithful. He won't fail. So keep on trusting and keep believing, for God is faithful and he won't fail. I won't sing it today, but those are the words. Amen. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, God's faithfulness. That's really what I wanted to talk about before we fellowship with communion. I wanted to talk about God's faithfulness. God has a track record, a perfect track record of being faithful. He has an unblemished record of being faithful. So he's a God that we can depend on. He's a God that we can count on to be faithful to his word. Just a few scriptures. Jesus was speaking in St. John, the 10th chapter, and verse 27 through 30. I have, of course, the Amplified Classic version of the scriptures. You can follow along in any version that you have with you this morning. Jesus is saying here in verse 27, the sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never lose it or perish throughout the ages. Amplified unpacks it a bit. To all eternity, they shall never by any means be destroyed. The latter part of this verse says, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. That's a statement of faithfulness. God says nobody is going to be able to snatch my sheep out of my hand. Verse 29 says, my Father who has given them to me is greater and mightier than I. I'm sorry, greater and mightier than all else. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So if you are a child of God, you are in an unsnatchable position. Nobody can snatch you out of the hands of Jesus. That sounds like a faithful statement. That's a statement that we can rely on and trust in. He said in verse 30, I and my Father are one. So we know you're in a safe place. You're in a safe place if you are one of his own sheep. And he did say that his own sheep hear and listen to his voice. So that means you have to obey the commands of Jesus. So we're moving now quickly to John 17. And in John 17, this brings a thought to my mind when I would talk with our dear Uncle Charles. He would say, this is the Lord's Prayer right here. Because Jesus is praying here. And I like this prayer. He said in John 17, beginning at verse 10, all things that are mine are yours. Jesus is praying. And all things that are yours belong to me. And I am glorified in and through them. They have done me honor in them. My glory is achieved. And now, Jesus is still praying here, verse 11, I am no more in the world, but these are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep in your name, in the knowledge of yourself, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Verse 12 says, while I was with them, I kept and preserved them in your name, in the knowledge and worship of you. Those you have given me, I guarded and protected, and not one of them has perished or is lost except the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot, the one who is now doomed to destruction, destined to be lost, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So here Jesus is saying, I've lost no one. Again, pointing to his faithfulness. I've lost no one except the son of perdition, and he's identified. So just in case you kind of wandered away from God, you can come back, because you are not the son of perdition. You're not, that ain't you. So don't let the enemy and our own human reasoning make you think, well, you done too much. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. All you have to do is confess your sins. And the scripture says, if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember the prodigal? On his way home, he was far, but his dad went. He went to him. So you're not too far from God. You're not too far. While you have breath and the blood is running in your veins, you can come back. You can come back. And I'd like the 20th verse of this chapter. That's where I'm going. I like the 20th verse of this chapter. He says, now see, he was praying for his apostles, right? So there's some significance to being apostolic. He was praying for his apostles. Now watch this. Verse 20 says, neither for these alone do I pray. It is not for their sake only that I make this request. But watch now, but also for all those who will ever come to believe in, trust in, cling to, rely on me through their word and teaching. So Jesus knew what he was doing. When he entrusted the teaching that he brought down from heaven, he entrusted it to his apostles, right? And he said, I'm praying for everybody who will ever come to believe in, who will ever come to trust in, cling to, rely on me through their word and teaching. So we have to teach what Jesus taught. We have to believe what Jesus taught, and he handed it down to those that he was praying for, and he included us in the prayer. Aren't you glad? Now, if anybody can get a prayer through, if anybody can, it is the man Christ Jesus. So while he was here on earth, he prayed this prayer, and we are the beneficiaries of this prayer. We believe the teaching of the gospel. We receive the teaching of the gospel. We obey the teaching of the gospel, and we have been brought into proper fellowship and proper relationship with God. I want to point out another aspect of God's faithfulness. Paul was speaking about one of the patriarchs. He was speaking about Abraham. He was talking about the faith that Abraham had and how God was faithful to him. Now we know, or we should know, if we've been to church any amount of time, the story of Abraham. You know, sometimes I don't like to call it a story, because sometimes people can make up stories. We know the facts, the biblical record of Abraham. That's a lot better. Huh? God made him a promise that he was going to make him a father of many nations, and it took time for that promise to be fulfilled. But the faithfulness of God is not restricted by time. So here Paul is reminding the saints at Rome in Romans chapter number 4, beginning at verse number 20. He's talking about the patriarch. Verse 20. He's talking about the patriarch Abraham. He said, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. So he received a promise. He was like 75 years old when he received the promise, but it wasn't fulfilled until he was 100. How long? I want to see your faith. Oh, there you are. How long are you holding on to a promise of God? Huh? Does it look like it ain't going to happen? Okay. See, we're honest here. Last week, we were preaching about let's be truthful. So we're going to maintain some truthfulness. Sometimes we wish God would hurry up. All right. Okay. Okay, so what's the number one song on your playlist? I don't mind waiting. I don't think so. Because sometimes we mind waiting. Let's just be real. Okay. All right. I'm talking to the real folks, not to the imposters. I'm talking to the real folks. Okay. Well, yeah, it is true. It's true. But these things were written for our example. They were written for our example. He was strong. He became strong, and he was empowered. Talking about Abraham now, empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. So he was praising God before it happened. Maybe that's why we had an extended praise, because somebody needs to praise God before something happens. We are expecting something to happen, huh? But can God trust us in the meantime? Huh? Can God trust us to give him real, genuine praise before it happens? Huh? Or are we going to wait until we get the package? Huh? Are we going to wait until the door is open? Huh? Are we going to wait until God comes through? Ooh, I knew he would, but you wasn't praising him before. Huh? Okay. I peeked on somebody's playlist and got an oldie but goodie. Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. All right. Now, verse 21, I got to move because we got to do communion, and then we have other things to do. Verse 21, Romans 4, this is you're talking about Abraham, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. Do we have that assurance in God? That is why his faith was credited to him as righteousness, right standing with God. What is our faith credit score with God? I hope y'all invite me back next week. What's your faith credit score? I know what experience says. It is good to have a high credit score, but what's your faith credit score with God? All right. Y'all gonna run me out of here, but I ain't going nowhere. Here we go. Verse 23. But the words it was credited to him were written not for his sake alone, but they were written for our sakes too. Righteousness, standing acceptable to God, will be granted and credited to us who also believe in, trust in, adhere to, and rely on God who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So we can boost our faith credit score, if you will, just by believing in God, trusting in God, adhering. Another word for adhering is obeying, huh? And relying on God, trust in God, all right? So we see through the life of Abraham that God is faithful. Paul now speaks to his son in the gospel, Timothy, in 2 Timothy, verse number 1, beginning at verse number 12. He, in the upper portion of this chapter, he was letting Timothy know that I've been called to be an apostle. I've been called to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here in verse number 12 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Amplified Classic says, and this is why I am suffering as I do. Still, I am not ashamed, for I know, I perceive, have knowledge of, and am acquainted with whom I have believed, adhered to, again, obeyed, right? And trusted in and relied on. And I am positively persuaded, watch that, that he is able to guard and keep that which has been entrusted to me and which I have committed to him until that day. Paul is saying, look, I'm confident in Jesus. I'm confident in the fact that since I put my trust in him, since I have obeyed him, since I put my life in his hands, I'm confident that he's going to do exactly what he said. I'm confident that God is going to bring me out of every situation victorious. Now, the victory may look a little different to some people because it might not be some person's idea of victory. But in the end, Paul says, I am persuaded. I am persuaded. Not am I just persuaded. I'm positively persuaded that he is able to guard and keep. Remember, we read Jesus said nobody will be able to snatch out of his hand. So Paul is just confirming the fact of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm persuaded. I really don't have nothing to worry about. I'm in the hands of God. Ups and downs, highs and lows, I'm in the hands of God. I've committed. When I obeyed the gospel, when I obeyed the call of salvation, I turned my entire life over to Jesus. So then my life is not my own now. I got to live my life according to the word and the will of God. And since I trust him, I trust his faithfulness. I trust the fact that he's coming back for us. I trust the fact that he that has begun a good work in you, he is able to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I trust the fact that we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. So now I'm hearing Jesus say in his word, it's in your Bible, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, some people just like Jesus. All right. Yeah, some people like him. Some people like what he can do. That's biblical history. Jesus said, y'all follow me for the fish and the loaves. Y'all don't love me. Lord, help me. I tell y'all, pray for my mind. Y'all just greedy. You got the fish and you got the loaves. You want to see what else you can get. You don't love Jesus. I'm not talking to you all, but that's the context. That's the context. But if it's you, I'm talking to you. Jesus don't want you to be in a like relationship with him. He wants you to be in a love relationship. Ooh, I love him. Do you? God is faithful. He won't fail. He loved us before we knew who we were. He loved us before our parents met each other. He loved us from the foundation of the, before the foundation of the world. He loved us. God's faithful to his word. Everything that God has promised is going to happen just like he said. I don't care what anybody else says. It's going to come to pass exactly like God said, and when God says it. So the safest place for us to be is already where God told us that we are, in his hand. In his hand. And attached to the hand is the strong arm of God. In his right hand. I was reminded of a post that I put on Facebook some years ago, maybe 2016. And I was thinking, you know how those of us that like boxing, anybody familiar with boxing? Okay, well, some of us are. And sometimes you have to use a jab. You have to use a jab to set the person up for the right hand. And the right hand is the power punch. The right hand is the knockout punch. So you just maybe you feel in the opponent out and you stick him a few times with the jab, set them up, because his defense is going to go down because he don't want to keep getting jabbed. And then you throw that right hand and knock him out. God's right hand is so powerful, he don't need no jab. He don't need no jab. Okay, that was just for those of us that, that got it. But real, he don't need no jab. His own arm brought salvation. That's what the Bible says. All right? I just wanted to encourage somebody. I'm almost done, believe it or not. I just wanted to encourage somebody to the fact that God is faithful. So whatever you are going through, whatever you are experiencing, whatever decisions you have to make, consult God about it. Consult God about it. And when God gives you the peace that you're making the right decision, don't waffle. I believe this is what God has given me, so I'm going to go in it. Don't waffle, because this scripture lets us know that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And don't let that man think he shall receive anything from God. Seek God. Seek him while he may be found. And know God has a history, a biblical track record of his faithfulness. He's faithful. And we need to have the confidence and the faith that another one of the patriarchs had, Joseph, when they were still in bondage. Y'all remember what Joseph said? Okay. He said, God is going to deliver. He didn't say if God deliver or maybe, well, I hope God delivers. He said, God is going to deliver us out of this Egyptian bondage. And when he delivers, even if I got to go to the grave, when he delivers us, dig up my bones and take them with you. That's some faith. Huh? That's the type of faith that we have to have. God is going to come through just like he said. I heard some people talking the other day. They said they're not looking. Somebody said they're not looking for a rapture. I am. I am. I'm looking for the catching away. I'm looking for the catching away of the saints. And so that means we have to maintain a state of readiness because God is coming back for his bride. We are the bride of Christ. And if there ever was a faithful husband, it's Jesus. That's another sermon right there. If there ever was a faithful husband, it's Jesus, and we are his bride. Jude speaks about or points to, in my mind, the faithfulness of Jesus. He says, now to him who is able to keep you without stumbling or slipping or falling. That is powerful right there. Can anybody in here keep themselves from stumbling, slipping, or falling? I want to know if you're in here. But now to him who is able to keep you without stumbling or slipping or falling. Another song comes up on the playlist of my mind, Oh, to be kept by Jesus. And to present you unblemished, blameless, and faultless before the presence of his glory in triumphant joy and exaltation with unspeakable ecstatic delight. The only one who can do that is Jesus. So Jude, who was the physical brother of Jesus, is encouraging us of what Jesus can do. Huh? He's the one that keeps us. He's the one that won't let us stumble. You know, as I was thinking about that scripture that says, no man can snatch you out of my hand, some of us walk out, though. Ooh. Some of us walk out. But come on back. Verse 25, to the one only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, splendor, majesty, might, and dominion, and power, and authority before all time, and now, and forever, unto all the ages of eternity. Amen. So be it. So, we attempted to point to the biblical record and admonition of encouragement that God is faithful. Keep trusting God, no matter what it looks like. Keep believing God. Stand on his word and watch it come to pass. Your deliverance may come on this side of eternity, and it may come on the other side of eternity. That's in God's domain. But fear not. Don't be afraid. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. So God doesn't want us to have a troubled heart, or he doesn't want us to be agitated with different fears. If you're saved, if you have biblical salvation, if you have repented of your sins and you've been baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ and you've been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, you are in the hands of Jesus. You're in the safest place you can be. But if you're not, his hands are still open. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Don't you think it's time for you to get some rest? Huh? Isn't it time for you to get? God's faithful. He's faithful. He said, a broken and a contrite heart, he will not despise. If you come to God truly repentant, God will save you instantly. You just got to believe it. You got to believe it. So I am attempting to encourage you, those of us who are already in God's hand, to continue to trust him. Continue to believe him through sickness, health, family issues, work issues, just human issues. Just trust God. He won't fail. He won't fail you. He will not fail you. I tried to make this simple, as clear as possible. God will not fail you. He won't. You can trust him. You can count on him. You can believe him. Go home and get a good night's sleep. Because God, he don't sleep. So since God's going to be up all night anyway, you might as well go to bed. Huh? He told us, cast all your cares. Throw them all on him. God said, I got you. What are you? I'm closing. We can't add one inch of stature to ourselves by thinking about it. We can't make a hair gray or black. Right? He said at one place, why are you thinking about such things? Your father knows what you need. Trust him. Trust him. Cling to him. Sometimes we cling to the wrong thing. Ooh, oh, Lord. That's another sermon. Somebody write that down. Sometimes we do cling to the wrong thing. Ooh, sometimes we rely on the wrong guy. Lord, have mercy. The scripture said, cling to him. Rely on him. Sometimes we trust in the wrong gust. And then that works out to be disaster for some of us. All right, let me let that go. I tell you, I pray for my mind. I mean that. But God just wants us to trust him, his faithfulness. So if you're here today and you've never repented of your sins, repent simply means having a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of direction. And you want to say, God, you know what? I've been living my life. And some of our lives might be okay by human standard. We ain't all got to be broke down and poor and, you know, whatever. But Jesus did say, except the man is born again, he can't see the kingdom. So it doesn't matter. You could be living large. You could be living large and in charge. Or you could be living wild and foul. It don't matter. The whole spectrum. But the crux of the matter is, you got to be born again of the water and of the spirit, or else you can't even see the kingdom of God. We have to tell you the truth. So if you have not had that experience and you want that experience, come on. Pay no attention to who's sitting next to you. Yeah, I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. The Bible says, in the day that you hear God's voice, and I believe we're speaking on the behalf of God, he said, harden not your heart. So when you hear God and you feel God tugging at the strings of your heart, he's saying, it's time for you to get saved. I have a plan for your life. Your plan might be going okay by human standards, but God has greater things for you. He has greater things for you. He can save you right where you are, fill you with his spirit, send you back to your entire circle of influence and cause you to be a light and a witness and a magnet to draw others into the kingdom of God. God can do that. But he ain't gonna force you, and neither am I. He said, whosoever will, let him come. We're not gonna beat you up. That's not what we do. But we are obligated to tell you the truth. Except the man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said that first, and then he said, you can't enter. How are you going to enter something you can't see? You don't know where you're going. If this was your last day, are you ready to leave here? Not the building. I'm talking about the planet. If you knew that this was your last day, is your name written in heaven as a part of the bride of Christ? Or are you uncertain about your eternal destiny? Something to think about.